Hey, I want to welcome you to Intentional Living, and this month at the Intentional Living Center, we're going to be focusing on what I call the Intentional Living Process, and we're going to take this four-step process, which can be used in every area, in any area of your life, and this month apply it to parents and grandparents. Now, if you're not a parent or a grandparent, I would encourage you to pass this teaching along to someone that you know in your church or someone in your family that could benefit from it. But the principles that we're going to teach are applicable to every area of your life. The key verse here at the Intentional Living Center is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 from the Message, where it says, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And the figure out is the head part, in other words, the thinking part. And we're going to put a lot of thinking into this lesson this month. And then what pleases Christ deals with our hearts, the emotions, the attitude, the inside of who we are, this emotional part of our being, and then do it, Paul says. In other words, that's the action part. And I like to think of intentional living as two parts. It's sort of like bookends that hold up books. On one side, the bookend on this side would be intentionality or the intentions of your life. And I'm going to talk about what does intention really mean. It's something much deeper and more profound than I think most of us consider. On the other end is another bookend, and this is the living part, the habits, the actions of our life. And in the middle is all the messiness of life. And so intentional living, putting those two together, is a very powerful thing. So over the next few months, here from the Intentional Living Club every month, I'm going to be teaching how to take this process, this four-part process that we're going to talk about today, and apply it to your finances, to your health, to your marriage, to your career, to your work, to your business. And as I said, this month I want to start by focusing on parenting and grandparenting. This is going to be a very practical series, very practical lessons with specific action steps for living intentionally. I call it the freedom, sort of the freedom process of intentional living. And if you take the letters F-R-E-E for free, they represent the four steps. Each of those in an acrostic will sort of outline or formulate the foundation for this process that we're going to be teaching this month. So let's begin with the letter F in free. The letter F focuses on God's intention. Circle that, underline that. Focus on God's intention. Now, what does intention mean? What is the meaning behind the word intention? Intention comes from the idea of stretching in the Latin. And intention is more than a goal. You know, in our lives, we focus a lot on goals, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But intention is something that's deep inside of us. It's the why question of life. You know, why do I do what I do? And it also involves the what. In other words, what am I going to focus on? So as a parent, it's why do I do what I do? You know, what is God's intention for me as a parent? And then what do I do as a parent? And from a business perspective, a strategic plan for business people is sort of beginning the first couple chapters of a strategic plan around this idea of intention, laying out the why of the business. Why are we in business? What is the purpose of our business? And then what business are we going to be in? But from a parenting perspective, I think intention is sort of the opening chapter of the story of your family. Why do we exist, and what is God's intention for us? When we think of goals, and goals are important, I mean, it's a big part of what we teach at Intentional Living, setting godly goals, having goals for the future, having a target of what you're shooting for. But goals are outward looking. In other words, a goal has a target that we're working for, where intentions are inward looking. Intentions are something that never change. And so I would say as a parent, we're going to talk about establishing an intention as a parent, and you're going to see that what I've considered to be God's intention for parenting to be this, to lead your children or your grandchildren to know God and then to intentionally live for God every day. See, an intention never changes. It never changes in your life. It's going to be the same today and next year, and it should be for the whole period of parenting. But goals will change. For instance, a goal that you have right now might be to help get your child or grandchild into a good preschool. Your goal might be to, you know, to get out of debt, or a goal might be to help your kids get into a sports club or a team. But those goals will change over time. Goals change, but intentions don't. I've been reading a book by Ed Catmull, who is the president of Disney and Pixar Animation. And as I was reading this story of this very creative genius, and of course Pixar making these movies that many of us have seen, the animated movies that are so creative, but right in the middle of his book, he made an interesting observation along this line of intentions and goals. Let me share it with you. He said, "I often say that managers of creative enterprises must hold lightly to goals and firmly to intentions." And he goes on to say, what do I mean by that? It means that we must be open to having our goals change as we learn new information or are surprised by things that we thought we knew, but we didn't. As long as our intentions or our values remain constant, our goals can shift as needed. And I thought, boy, that's a profound thought. I think one of the reasons as parents we get so discouraged is we set a lot of goals, goals for ourselves and for our family and for our kids. And then when a goal is met or we fail at a goal, we can feel kind of hollow or we can kind of feel like we failed. But if we come back to the intentionality of our lives, what is God's intention for you as a parent and for me as a grandparent? What is God's heart for us as parents? That makes all the difference. So when our goals have to be changed or when we have to modify what we're attempting to do as a parent, we can always fall back on this basic intentionality or God's intention for us as a family. See, a goal without an intention is really kind of hollow. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you'll have a goal and when you reach that goal, it feels kind of empty. You're excited for a while and then you wonder, well, what's next? But an intention without a goal is only a good idea. And this is why so many people feel empty following a success in their life. So before we get into some of the specifics on how to be an intentional parent, how this process works, let me summarize again what the intentional living process looks like. Again, it's like the bookends. On one end would be the intentions of our life. On the other end would be the living or the habits of our life. And here's how it looks. Intentions lead to goals. Goals lead to actions. Actions lead to habits. And habits lead to intentional living. I think that's really a profound process as we think about moving from intentions in life, the purpose of our life, the why of our life, to the actual living or the development of habits. You have to have both ends. So the step one is we talk about the letter F in this freedom little process that we're talking about to experience freedom in your life. The letter F is focusing on God's intention. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the writer to the Hebrews says that the Word of God is living, it is powerful, it is active, it pierces, it divides marrow, it divides thoughts and intentions of our life. It says it reveals the thoughts and the intentions of our life. And so even in God's economy, He considers the intentions of our life to be very important. Now, let me just share four things that I think as a parent or grandparent that are absolutely essential if we're going to know God's intention, to really know what His design and goals are for us as a parent. First of all, we have to read Scripture. You know, God's intentions are revealed in His Word. The Bible talks about the role of parenting. It says things to us like, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. What does that mean? What is God's intention in sharing that in the book of Proverbs? God says to us that, fathers, don't exasperate your children. And I would broaden that to say parents in general. Don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? What is God's intention in saying that? I'd ask the question as you read that scripture, is God saying to us that there are ways that we can exasperate our children? Maybe we exasperate them by being too controlling. Maybe we exasperate them by not having clear sense of direction or values for our family. Maybe we exasperate our children or grandchildren by not being consistent. But at the end of the day, the Scripture teaches us many principles and commands that we can use as humans, as parents, in raising our kids and grandkids. And when we get into Scripture, there's a peace that starts to develop in our life. We get direction in our life. We start to understand God's intention for us as a parent. Second way that we can start to understand His intention is to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit reveals to us through meditation and prayer. I think of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. I mean, this guy, after he was moved deeply to do something for his nation, It says that he sat down, he wept, he mourned, and he prayed for many days before he ever put out that strategic plan. He was seeking God's intention. He wanted to know what God's intention was for his life. And the scripture teaches that that was a process that went on maybe for 3 or 4 months as Nehemiah sought God's intention for his life through his Holy Spirit. A third thing that we can do to understand God's intention is seek wise counsel. You know, one of the things that I appreciate with the Intentional Living members is that you are people who want to learn. You're a person who wants to grow. You're a person who wants to develop your life. You're a person who wants to take in information. You want to learn. You want godly counsel in your life. And I'm glad that I can be at least one voice to encourage you in living intentionally. But a very powerful part of the process of becoming an intentional parent is to seek wise counsel. And then a fourth one that you don't hear mentioned very often is reading the biographies of great Christians, men and women who have preceded us, men and women who have gone through their entire life and shared with us the story that they left behind of what God did in their life. So I ask the question for you and for me, as we're focusing on this process and we're still on the letter F, focusing on God's intention, what do you think God's intention is for you as a parent or grandparent? You know, I thought about this in preparation for this lesson, and let me share with you what I believe to be God's intention, sort of the immovable part of our responsibility as a parent. Here's how it goes. I think God's intention for you as a parent is to lead your children or your grandchildren to know God and then to intentionally live for God each day. You see, there's two parts there. Again, intentional living, knowing God, and then living for God. Now, you may not agree with that. And if you don't, I would challenge you to sit down for yourself and say, what is God's intention for me as a parent? To make that very clear. You know, I'm thinking about myself growing up in my home, and my parents were godly parents. They loved me, and they encouraged me, and they were concerned that I come to know Him as a believer, as a follower of Christ. But as I look back over my childhood, one of the things that I wish my parents had done more of would have helped me to really explore God's intention for my life, to spend more time beyond just, quote, getting saved, to really look, what was God doing in my life? You know, what was God's intention for Randy growing up? These were things that I had to kind of explore on my own and experience on my own, and of course, that's part of the process as well. But as a parent, you have an opportunity not only to get your children to know God, but then to help your children actually live for God, to know what God's intention is for their life, what their skills and talents and gifts are that they can really put on the altar, as it were, before God to use their life to honor Him. I'd encourage you to rate yourself. Before we get beyond this first letter of focusing on God's intention, rate yourself in the area of being an intentional parent. On a scale of 0, meaning you're not doing it at all, to 10, meaning you're just excellent, over the top, A+, how intentional are you as a parent or a grandparent in terms of helping your children find God's intention for their life and knowing God's intention for you as a parent at this point, knowing your purpose and having clear goals for your family? Rate yourself, because that number is important. It'll help you see in what areas you need to work. Now let's move from the intention side to the living side, you know, the actual living out of our lives. So we move from the letter F to the letter R for free. And for the letter R in the acrostic, write down that God wants us to repeat doing the next right one thing until that action or attitude becomes a habit. In other words, repetition. Repetition of doing the next right one thing, turning actions into habits. See, habits are more powerful in our life than actions, because actions add. I mean, you do an action and it has value. But if you take that same positive action and you do it every day, you do it several times every day, and it becomes a habit, it's just a part of the pattern of your life, it multiplies. For an example, encouraging your child every once in a while is a good thing. That's an action. But encouraging your child every day, see, that becomes a habit, a positive habit, a habit that will have very positive impact in the relationship with your children. So let's repeat the process again. We go from intention, which leads to goals. Goals now lead to action. So you have to have goals, specific goals for your family, leading to actions. Now, actions should lead to habits. Know what the actions are that need to be turned into habits, and then habits lead to an intentional life. So just before I share with you the top 10 list, and this is really the core of this lesson this month, I'm going to share with you a top 10 list of actions that I believe, if you pick one or two or start with one until you master it and then add another one, and you make these intentional, repetitive behaviors and attitudes as a parent or grandparent, it can revolutionize your life. This is an important core part of the process that I call the intentional living process. But just before we share some of these with you, these 10 very practical tips and helps for you, rate yourself on the living side of intentional living. On a scale of 0 to 10, how consistent are you in turning actions into habits and habits into intentional living? Now, you know, you need to be honest with yourself, because those two numbers will become the basis of how much and how focused you are as being an intentional parent. And so take a minute and do that, because I think it's an important thing to do. Those two numbers really represent both the intention of your life and the living in your life. All right, let's get into this top 10 list. I call them intentionals, and you may have seen them on our website, but these I've developed just for this lesson this month. And I want to go through each of these briefly. And here's what I'm encouraging you to do, because we can get so overwhelmed by doing so many things. And that's why my emphasis is always on doing the next right one thing. As you know, I even wear a wristband that says one thing on it. And I wear that to remind me every day that if I do the next right one thing until that one thing becomes a habit in my life, that becomes intentional living. And so I want to share with you these 10, but I'm going to encourage you to pick just one. As I go through this list, make it a goal and then turn it into a daily action until it becomes a habit in your life. And then when you're through that one, I encourage you to pick another one that you believe would be positive to you as a parent or grandparent. Turn it into a goal for the next 30 days or so, and then work on that until it becomes a habit in your life. You ready? All right, let me share with you these top 10 for being intentional as a parent. Number one, that you should pray for and with each of your children every day. There's something that, I don't know, there's a spiritual thing that happens when we stop and pray with our kids. I don't mean just over dinner or just, you know, a bedtime prayer, but really spending time in prayers. I think back in my own parenting, you know, we prayed at the table and I tried to pray with the kids every night when we'd go to bed. But to have spent more time with them, really praying that God would do a marvelous thing in their life, that they would find God's will for their life, that they would experience God, not only know Him, but experience Him, that as they grew up, they would, you know, make the decisions that would honor Him. I think praying with your kids is an important thing. Now, there's one thing. If for the next 30 days, every day, you prayed individually with and for each of your children, I can promise you, if that becomes a habit in your life, that one simple intentional decision, as we talk about this, you know, this process of living intentionally, could transform your family. Here's a second thought. Number two, to encourage each child daily. Now we're talking about the words that come out of our mouth. You know, as a parent or grandparent, so often we're quick to criticize or we're quick to correct or instruct. I know I can do that. I mean, it's a part of my personality, you know, thinking that if I just give a little more instruction, you know, they're going to get it. And that can happen as a parent every day of our lives. But stopping just to use the words of our mouth, the things that come out of our life, to encourage our kids. I can remember my dad. He was a great encourager. He would always tell me, Randy, I'm proud of you. Or I see God has some great things in store for you in the future. Or keep at it. You know, these kind of things, these kind of words make a difference. So maybe this is the one thing you're going to pick for the next 30 days. The next 30 days, every day, you choose to be intentional to speak a word of encouragement into each child. And I don't mean to be phony or frivolous or just come up with something because you have to do it, but really find something that you know will encourage them and then speak it. Here's the third one, to follow through with each child daily. Now we're talking about discipline. Maybe the problem that you're facing in your family is inconsistency. Mom and dad may be not on the same page. You know, following through gives your child a sense of security. In fact, much of what we've taught in Intentional Living, we have the Parenting Challenge series, which is a several-part video series for small groups. We have Raising Responsible Adults, the book and the study guide. We have our conferences that we do for parents, always intended to help parents practically to follow through in discipline, remembering that the word discipline comes from discipleship or training, not punishment, discipleship. And so maybe for the next 30 days, you're going to make it a goal to say, you know, I'm going to set reasonable expectations in my home for my kids, but then as a parent, I'm going to make sure that I follow through. All right, here's a fourth one. Here's another one. Pick maybe this one for the next 30 days. To teach each child daily. Teaching your children. This is part of the training process. Earlier I mentioned biographies. Maybe there's things that you're reading. Maybe there's things that you're learning. Maybe there's discussion topics you'd like to bring to the table to train your children, to teach your children, so your children are not just absorbing all the things that they're getting from their friends on the social network or all their friends at school, but as a parent, you're helping train your children in the Word of God. And this comes back to reading Scripture and discussing it, having devotionals. You know, here at the ministry, we've created devotionals that have been used all around the world to help families to be intentional in training the next generation. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? I'll tell you this, if you're not intentional, and I'm not intentional as a parent or grandparent, the people outside of this building, outside of your home, are very intentional. Intentional for your kids. Intentional about their agenda, about their message, about their ideal for life. And for you and me as parents, to be training our kids is a very powerful thing. Number five would be, maybe this is the one thing you want to pick for the next 30 days, to listen to each child daily. That shows a great deal of respect. Maybe you're one that jumps in and, you know, doesn't let your child express what they're feeling or what they're going through, but to truly and deeply listen to them, to listen to their heart, listen to what's going on in their life. Here's one, number six, to be patient with each child daily. That's a love thing, to be patient with your kids, to be patient when they're not doing what you think they should be doing. You know, one of the attributes of love, it says in Scripture, that love is patient. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Being patient with your children is a powerful thing. Number seven, maybe this is the one thing that you'd like to pick for the next 30 days, is to dream with each child daily. To dream with them about the goals that they have for the future, the desires they have for the future, the aspirations they have for the future in their own life. This provides them with hope, and a hope is a powerful thing for a child. Number eight, how about to hug each child each day? Just to hug them. Physical touch. You know, one of the most powerful things we can do in our family is to touch each other in healthy ways. And that physical touch by hugging your child, your son or daughter, is a beautiful thing. How about number nine? Maybe this is one thing for the next 30 days. Well, now we're talking about intentionals, right? We're talking about picking one thing and being repetitive in doing that one thing until that one thing becomes a habit in your life. I would challenge you to every day to help challenge your child to grow. In other words, challenge them in growth. Help them stretch. Did you know that the word intentional in the Greek also talks about the stretching? That's where we get words like tendons, to extend, and intentional, all meaning to stretch. One of the best gifts you can give to your son or daughter is to help them grow, to stretch, to learn, to become all that God intends for them to be. And then number 10, I'm giving you a list of 10, encouraging you to pick one for at least the next several days until that becomes a habit in your life, is to celebrate with each child every day, or at least on a regular basis. You know, the Scripture talks about celebrating with those who are winning and crying for those who are losing, and I think in the process, that's being very intentional as a parent. So far, we've talked about focusing on God's intention, which is, you know, the one end of the bookends here, the one side, and then repeating the kind of daily actions that become habits for living. That's the living side of the bookends. But in between, we know, is the messiness of life, the decisions that we have to make of how we're going to live. And that takes us to the first E in free. We're talking about F-R-E-E. And the first E goes this way. Eliminate clutter. Eliminate clutter. Now, that brings all sorts of emotions and thoughts to mind. Maybe you're a person that has just a lot of physical clutter. Maybe you have a person that has mental clutter. Maybe you're a person that your life is just cluttered. You know you're just overwhelmed. And what clutter represents in our life is resistance. It represents roadblocks to success. It's very time-consuming. and it requires maintenance. You think about all the stuff in life that we have, from relationships to stuff that require us to maintain things. And if we're going to live a life of intentionality as a parent, we've got to be stripped down to the core issues, the core principles, the core important things in our life. Even Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he told them to take nothing with them, just to trust in him and to go out and rely upon him. And I think in life, especially in our American West here in the Western part of the world, when we have so many things, it's easy for us to have too much clutter in our life. And I think there are four forms of clutter that create the resistance, the procrastination, and the roadblocks in our life. And let me just share with you what the six are. Number one is mental clutter, and I'm going to come back and talk about mental clutter in a little more detail. Number two is emotional clutter. Number three is friendship clutter, and I'm going to talk about that in an upcoming lesson in the next couple of months, about how not all friends are good for us, and some friendships have to have an expiration date. There's schedule clutter. I think we all know what that means, when our schedules get so busy that we can't keep up. Then there's just the stuff clutter. And I have that in my offices, one here and one at home. I have it in my garage at home. And it's frustrating, just the stuff that we collect. And then, of course, number six could be spiritual clutter. You know, sometimes we just don't have spiritual clarity what God has for us, and our lives are cluttered with a lot of things spiritually that we need to work on. But since I'm going to be, over the next several months, teaching on this process that I'm calling the intentional living process, in areas of finance and health and work, I'll elaborate on some of these other areas of clutter in each of those lessons. But I just want to come back and focus on mental clutter today. You know, the Bible says a lot about our minds. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible talks about the fact that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report, think on these things. And so throughout Scripture, we learn about the power of our minds. And our minds can be cluttered. And as parents, you know, your minds can be cluttered with worry, with regret, with guilt, the should-haves of life. Your minds can be distracted by just a lot of busyness in the world. And when your minds get cluttered, it keeps you and it keeps me from focusing on the things that are truly the most important in our life. So how do you change your mind? You know, how do you change your mind? I think the Scripture gives us some wisdom on that. It says to us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Paul tells us, as I just mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, that those things are true or right or admirable and praiseworthy. Think on such things. Some practical things that you can do to eliminate mental clutter is to memorize Scripture, Scripture that encourages you with the truth. Journaling is a powerful way of eliminating mental clutter. As you start to see patterns of your thoughts coming down onto the pages of your journal, you'll start to see the things that are consuming your mind. To get people around you who will speak the truth into your life. Again, as we've talked earlier, reading biographies that will fill your mind with the truth. Stimulate your mind with asking the right questions. You know, I've done a lesson just recently on the power of questions. Asking the right questions. God, you know, how can I be a more intentional parent? What one thing could I do today that would help my kids and help my family? What one thing am I doing in my life that I need to eliminate and one thing that I need to add? Asking the right kind of questions can help clarify some of the clutter in your life. You know, one of the things that I find with people, maybe you can relate, is the fact that Satan loves to use our minds to cause discouragement, feeling overwhelmed, and worry. You know, those things are really powerful. And I think of Paul, when he was talking to young Timothy, where he says in the book of Timothy, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Apparently, this young pastor was struggling with fear in his life. And Paul says to him, God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I think that's a powerful combination. And we also find from Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 that he says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything that we should give praise with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God, and then the peace of God will come and transform our lives. And so what we tell ourselves and the use of our minds are very, very powerful. All right, we're going to go into more detail on the other areas of clutter beyond mental clutter, the stuff of our life, friendships, emotions, and so on, in lessons coming up in the months ahead. But the last E, you know, there's F, we talked about focusing on God's intention, R, repeating actions until they become habits for your life. E, eliminate clutter. And then the last E is to enjoy and celebrate and give God the glory. You know, one of the things in our life that we need to have in our family is what I call planned spontaneity, that we have some fun, that we do things as a family that just celebrate God's goodness together, that we love each other, that our home is a place of safety, our home is a place where God is honored. When we do those things, we're being intentional. Now, this little process that we've called the intentional living process, focusing on F-R-E-E, will work in every area of your life. If you can focus on God's intention, and we gave you the steps that you need to take to get there, if you will repeat the right actions every day, pick one thing for the next 30 days until it becomes a habit, and then pick another thing for 30 days until that becomes a habit, your life will be transformed. But remember, the two bookends of intention and then the repetitive nature of our habits, if we don't take care of the clutter that gets in the middle, see, all the things in our life that consume us, we're never going to truly experience what it means to be intentional. My hope for you as a parent or grandparent, that you will experience God's very best as you live for Him intentionally. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this lesson, for a reminder that you want us to experience freedom, freedom in you. And this little process that we've talked about today will help us get there. As we know you, as we experience you, and as we find your intentions for our life, find your love for us, experience your love for us, and then live that out every day intentionally. We thank you for every person who's listening or viewing. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for allowing them to be alive in this generation. Help them to experience true freedom in living intentional for you. And thank you for their support for this ministry and mission, as together we reach a world that is in desperate need of living intentionally in you. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for being a member of Intentional Living. Your faithful monthly support helps Dr. Randy encourage people all around the world through the daily broadcast, the Intentional Living website, a myriad of resources, and exclusively to members of Intentional Living, this monthly coaching CD. If you haven't been to our website lately, you may want to go there and join the journey. Sign up at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Thanks for being a member of Intentional Living.